Arrow Precision pushes the boundaries for modern sporting rifle builds and machines receivers from custom forgings for added strength and durability. Arrow Precision delivers top quality American-made products at an affordable price. ArrowPrecisionUSA.com.
Well, howdy. Welcome to Gun Talk. I'm Tom Gresham. Yes, it is Tom Gresham's Gun Talk, where we talk about guns, well, a lot of different kinds of guns. We'll be talking about the current affairs, current events, and yeah, of course, we're going to be talking about Kyle Rittenhouse and the verdict. That's going to occupy at least a good part of the first part of the show today. If you'd like to weigh in on that, obviously you can. 866-TALK-GUN. I have my own thoughts, and I'm going to be sharing those as we go along. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to be talking about a new gun, a new 10mm pistol. Very cool. And we're going to talk about reloading. Should you get into it? How do you do that? What are the benefits of that? Is it too late to get into reloading? Quick answer there. No, it's not. So it's just a matter of getting started like everything else. But of course, the big news of the week was the murder trial of Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old, now 18, who in Kenosha, Wisconsin, depending on, you know, your sources of information, what you believe happened. But if you watch the trial, you would actually have a pretty good idea of exactly what happened. He was, of course, acquitted on all counts. He was charged with 5 counts. The 6th count, the gun charge, was dropped. Rightly so, by the way. He killed 2 people, shot another person, shot at a 4th person and missed. Mr. Jump Kick Man, who was not identified until almost the very last, only in the last few days did he get his identity. Turns out, he has, I think they said 45... criminal charges against him through the years and his record, criminal record. Everybody he shot at or shot had criminal record. Which brings me to an interesting thought. I mean, I'm going to be jumping around to a lot of different places with this. Because here's the thing. This is a multi-threaded subject. It's not just what happened. It's not just the trial. It's the reaction to it. It's the media stream of misinformation on it. And it's also, and this is very important for listeners of Gun Talk, it's also what do you take away from it, and my caution to be very careful about what you draw from this, what you take away, what you think it actually means. And I'm going to have some more information on that because, frankly, I think you could get yourself in real trouble if you read too much into this verdict, okay? So, first off, let's look at who he shot. I mean, he was being chased. First guy he shot, they said, well, he was unarmed. He was trying to get the gun away from him. He had already threatened to kill Kyle Rittenhouse. He chased him down, tried to get his gun. And as every police officer who's ever been to an academy knows and has been taught, if the person gets your gun away from you, it's almost certain he or she is going to shoot you with that gun. Can't let it happen. So let's see, he'd been released, from a mental hospital that very morning. Then you had Jump Kick Man, 40 with 45 charges against him, and tried to kick him in the head. You had Skateboard Guy, who hit Rittenhouse in the head with a skateboard, which is absolutely a deadly weapon. And then you had the guy who was just somehow startled and shocked that when he pointed his gun at Kyle decided to shoot him. Duh. All, of course, with criminal records. Now, here's the thing. It has become very clear over the last 2 years with the riots going on everywhere, the leftist Democrat-supported riots, burning, mayhem, arson, beatings, murders, etc., that these quote-unquote mostly peaceful protests, right, are a huge magnet for violent felons. People who have track records of committing violence, who go there to commit violence. They go in the middle of these wanting to hurt someone, wanting to burn something, wanting to loot, wanting to commit felonies. Their actions, I guess they're hoping, will be masked by those who are there. It is not a surprise, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone at this point, that these protests, which I don't call them protests anymore, they are absolutely riots, are centers for people who want to hurt other people. If you go into the middle of them, you are subjecting yourself to that threat. Okay. Put that aside, but just understand that that is a reality at this point. Let's address the first thing. Should Kyle Rittenhouse have been there? I don't know. Should anybody have been there? Should the rioters have been there? Should the felons have been there? Should the arsonists have been there? Should anybody have been there? Well, and then we have these idiocy. This will get us to the media, the idiocy of the stories and the narrative that was put out by the mainstream media and a lot of leftist politicians. They said stupid things like, well, he crossed state lines with a rifle. Well, number one, he didn't. But then they would say, well, but he crossed state lines. You know what? Every day in America, millions upon millions upon millions of people cross state lines. It's actually legal to go across a state line and even to go back the other way and cross it again. People do it all the time. What are they even talking about? He crossed state lines. Yeah, of course he did. Well, why did he go so far? He went like 17 miles from his house to his community in Kenosha. How far did the rioters go to get there? How far did some of them go there to commit mayhem and arson and to hurt people and look for an opportunity to not just misbehave or to behave badly, but to behave violently? There's just so much here to talk about. There's so much misinformation. I guess the question is, did you watch the trial? Because I am very much convinced, because you're getting this widespread reaction on the part of people that are reacting to the verdict. You got a lot of people say, this is a travesty. How could this possibly happen? And others just say, well, yeah, of course. This was the natural consequence once you know what happened. And I think, you know, there are two divides here, two splits. You got the split of people who watched the trial and those who didn't. And the people who watched the trial got a very good look at what actually happened. And you also got to see the prosecutor make an absolute fool of himself over and over again. He's a moron, an idiot. I mean, for heaven's sakes, asking Rittenhouse, you know, you were running to the fire. Rittenhouse was putting out fires there. Yes. Well, why did you feel that there was an urgency to run to put out the fire? To which Rittenhouse says, it was a fire? You moron. He didn't say that part. I did. Of course, they had the prosecutor who also pointed the AR-15, put his finger on the trigger, and pointed it at the jurors. If I had been a juror, I would have had to just yell at him and say, hey! Point that thing somewhere else. But that's just me, because I won't put up with that stuff. So you got the reaction of people who watched the trial or didn't watch the trial. And then you have the reaction split of people who, depending on where they get their information, they have this idea of what actually happened. If you get your information, frankly, from any of the mainstream media, you were simply misled for the last year. You were told things that simply were not true. I'll get into that in just a minute. If you availed yourself of maybe non-standard media, certainly some Fox News, they got a lot of stuff right, but you pretty much had to go online to find out what really was going on. You weren't surprised at all. You said, well, yeah, this is a clear case of self-defense. He was attacked. He was assaulted. People were trying to kill him, and he shot them and made them stop. Thus, he is still alive. The prosecutor kept saying, well, you intended to kill him. And when he was testifying, Kyle Rittenhouse said, no, I stopped them. I had to stop them from attacking me. Well, you stopped them because you intended to kill them. He was trying to push that point. And Rittenhouse said, no, I was just trying to stop them. And he did that very effectively. Would he have done as well if it had a different firearm, if it had a handgun? I don't know. Maybe not. Certainly the AR-15 has a good bit more power than a handgun and maybe stop people more quickly. And as we have said before, people say, well, you know, you killed him. Well, that is an occupational hazard of trying to murder someone, which these people are trying to do. Sometimes, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes there are people out there, like Kyle Rittenhouse, who somehow take offense when you try to kill them. They will take exception to that, and they will try to stop you from doing that. So now we have the verdict in. We have the reaction out there. Here's one I particularly like. This is in the Washington Post, quoting Josh Horwitz, the executive director of the Educational Fund to Stop Gun Violence. He said the verdict was a sign that extreme gun culture has rotted out our collective soul. Only in America can a 17-year-old grab an assault weapon, provoke a fight, kill two people, and injure another, and pay no consequences. Our fealty to firearms has managed to make sparing human life a sign of weakness. Here's the thing. One of the things that you get with me is you get corporate memory. I know who Josh Horwitz is. I know who he has been. I've been doing this since the 1970s. He may now be the executive director of the Educational Fund to Stop Gun Violence, but before that it was called the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. And before that, it was called the Coalition to Ban Handguns. He's been a gun ban advocate for more than three decades. Of course, they're not, the Washington Post isn't going to tell you that. This is a guy who wants to ban guns. So what he sees from this is, you know, a chance to rail against firearms ownership. I've seen several articles say, well, is this going to encourage more people to carry guns for self-defense? Will we see more self-defense shootings? Of course, those people being completely unaware of the fact that we have as many as 2 million self-defense gun uses every year, according to a number of different studies, including from the Centers for Disease Control. More than 2 million times a year, people use guns successfully in self-defense in the United States. Most of the time, they don't have to kill anybody. They don't have to shoot anybody. But they do stop the attack. And yes, the guy who pointed the gun at Kyle Rittenhouse did not have a permit, was carrying the gun illegally. Don't know, but there's a pretty decent chance he got granted immunity for his testimony. That's why he's not going to be charged. Tell you what, I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to give you a big warning. And that is, there are a lot of people in the gun world who are looking at this and feeling proud, maybe emboldened, maybe reassured at this verdict. And I want to tell you to stop and give this some thought, and let's give it some analysis, and I'll talk you through the process. There are things to be learned here, but they very well may not be what you think.
Illuminate your holidays with the Psionics Aurora, Aurora Pro, and Explorer kits now through December 5th with free shipping, 20% off, plus a free illuminator kit with purchase of either Aurora Digital Color Night Vision Tool. Experience a whole new world with features like Moonless Starlight Night Vision, using the Aurora for navigation, scouting, moving in and out of stands and blinds, and capturing footage that other cameras can't capture. See more with Psionics at psionics.com.
This is Marty Hayes, president of the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. Do you have self-defense insurance or belong to an organization backed by an insurance company? If so, understand insurance companies do not have your best interests at heart. They work for themselves. We are different. Instead of insurance, we have our own legal defense fund of close to $3 million, money set aside for your defense. To learn more, go to armedcitizensnetwork.org. That's armedcitizensnetwork.org.
Visit GunTalk.com to win GunTalk's Lock and Load giveaway for multiple chances to win. One grand prize winner will take home $1,000 in their choice of Remington ammunition and a lockdown prize pack with a handgun vault, a lockdown puck, and more. Plus, four additional winners will also receive lockdown prize packs that include handgun vaults, pucks, gun safe lighting, shirts, cups, and more. Enter now through November 26th at GunTalk.com/win.
The Ruger Max 9 is a micro-sized striker-fired 9mm pistol offering 12+1 capacity and a high-visibility tritium fiber day-night front sight. The Ruger Max 9 is optic-ready for direct mounting of co-witness J-point and shield pattern micro red dot sights. Available in three different models, manual safety, state compliant, and pro. The Ruger Max 9 is your next handgun. Find out more at Ruger.com/Max9.
Back with you, Tom Gresham, 866-TALK-GUN. Talk about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial and verdict. Not guilty on all counts. Self-defense. The media lied about so many things. Here's just a few of the things that the media lied about. These peaceful protests most certainly were not. It was one of those deals. It's like the husband who gets caught in bed with another woman, and he tells his wife, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? While they're telling us they are peaceful protests, we're looking at buildings burning. Not peaceful. Okay, big lie there. Kyle Rittenhouse did not travel across state lines with a rifle, but who cares? He could. It would have been legal. Nothing wrong with that. Rittenhouse did not hunt down anyone. He was running away at every point. He was not an active shooter. One of the things they keep wanting to say, he was an active shooter. No, he wasn't. You need to look up the FBI's definition of an active shooter. At no point does this qualify. He was not a white supremacist. Note that everyone involved in this, from Rittenhouse to the people he shot, were all the same color. All three people he shot and the one he missed were trying to hurt or kill him. All four had records for violent crime. History suggests that if he had allowed any of them to get him on the ground or hit him in the head, grab his gun or shoot him with a legally carried pistol, he would have been killed. They would have stomped him to death. Choose your information sources carefully. Okay, to that. A lot of folks in the gun world are celebrating this. I get that. And I agree. He should have been found not guilty. But do not take that and say, well, therefore, that solidifies my position if I ever have to get into a self-defense situation, if I have to shoot somebody in self-defense. My concern here would be that that would perhaps make people slightly less cautious, slightly encourage them to get involved. Let's review. You are probably not going to have all the video that they had of this. Because I am absolutely convinced that if there had not been video of this, Kyle Rittenhouse would be going to prison. If we didn't have all this video to show exactly what happened, I think he would have been convicted. You're not going to have that, almost certainly. You're probably not going to have $2 million in money to use for your defense. Probably. All that to say that you can do everything that you think is correct and still suffer major consequences. Well, for that matter, even though he was acquitted, Rittenhouse has massive PTSD. I will guarantee you he wishes he had never gone there. Yeah, I don't hold him up as a poster child or a hero or anything else. I think he probably exercised poor judgment in being there. Having said that, once you're there, you're still allowed to defend yourself. I loved it. One pundit I was reading said, well, you know, once you bring a gun to an event, you give up all of your rights to self-defense. Well, that would mean that everybody carrying a gun concealed with a permit has no right to self-defense. That would mean that the 60 million adults who live in states that have permitless carry, constitutional carry, have no right to self-defense if they bring a gun. That would mean that if you have a gun in your home, you have no right to self-defense. It's ludicrous. It's nonsense. There's a, I don't know if you'd call it projection or what it is from the left, from the gun ban crowd. But I've said this for many, many years. And I think it's absolutely true. And that is the fact that we take care of ourselves, that we carry guns, threatens their self-image. Because they are unwilling to take care of themselves, and they believe in the state for everything. You know, it's the whole, well, why did you have a gun? We have the police for that. Why were you putting out fires? We have a fire department for that. And then you get the inevitable, that's not your job. Actually, I beg to differ. I think it is our job. I think it's our job to take care of ourselves and our fellow man and our community. And someone comes in and wants to burn my community down and go, you know, I don't think so. Especially when, over the last 2 years, we've seen police departments be told, back up, let them have it, let them burn it, let them do whatever they want to. Now there's no police protection. Oh, yeah, there's also no fire protection in there. And more people are saying, no, you're not going to do that to my town. Good? Bad? I don't know, but I sure understand it. But back to the idea that the gun ban folks, they are threatened by this because they look at themselves and realize they are unwilling or incapable of protecting themselves. They find themselves lacking, but they can only see that relative to us. If we are prepared and willing to take care of ourselves and our families, then they look bad in comparison. And rather than them step up, cowboy up, and decide to take care of themselves and their families, they say, no, rather than do that, I'm just going to make sure you can't do that, that we're all on the same level. You'll be the same as me. You'll be weak. You'll be unwilling. You will be irresponsible. You won't take care of your family. You will be willing to let things happen to them. You'll depend upon calling someone who may or may not come and almost certainly won't get here in time. But somehow that makes me feel good about myself because I brought you down to my level, and that's what they do. But please don't think just because Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted, that's any kind of encouragement for you. It's worth your consideration. 866-TALK-GUN. What's your take? All right, we're back. It's Gun Talk. I'm Tom Gresham. If you want to join us, it's 866-TALK-GUN. Talking about, well, certainly the Kyle Rittenhouse trial and the verdict there, and as well as everything else, will be open lines if you want to join us. Let's see. Chris has called in from North Carolina. He's on line one. Hey, Chris, you're on Gun Talk. What's your take on the Rittenhouse verdict?
Well, I'm glad for Kyle, no doubt about that, but as a responsible gun owner, and I'm also a concealed carry instructor, it's not just Kyle was on trial. The right to self-defense, in my opinion, was on trial. This would have established case law where defending yourself with a firearm would have been used against you in the future, if not in Wisconsin, but potentially across the country. So I'm glad the verdict was what it was. I'm not super stoked that he was there. I mean, I wouldn't want my kids in that environment, but that's not what was on trial. It was his right to self-defense, and he legally used the firearm to defend himself.
And the fact that he used an AR-15, America's rifle, to do this and showed good technique. I think if he had not had that sling on and was not wearing it properly, he may have gotten killed there. I think they would have gotten the gun away from him, and having that sling on and understanding how to use it. And being able to fire effectively from the hip, which would have been more difficult with a handgun. I think all of that went into this thing.
And most definitely, I mean, at his age, that was his only really option, was to carry a long gun. So, you know, therefore, I'm very disappointed in the media. I don't know why it should be, because that's all you get crammed down your throat. But
yeah.
With that being said, that was my point. I'm glad that it did. It worked out the way it did for him and also for all responsible gun owners and the ability to defend themselves in the future.
Absolutely. I appreciate the call, sir. You take care. I'm going to switch on you now. You know, we had Nicholas on a couple of months ago, 12-year-old neighbor who got his first deer We love to tell the stories about youngsters going out there and shooting. Let's bring on right now my son, Ryan Gresham, who you know through all the Gun Talk videos and everything else, as well as they're going down the road in Texas, his daughter, Parker. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hi.
Hey, Parker, how you doing? You doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you went to the FTW Ranch this past weekend, the great place in the hill country of Texas. You took the class on shooting. So if you would, just tell folks what that was like.
It was great. I honestly loved it. It was really helpful because I learned a lot of new stuff. And, yeah, I liked it.
Well, yeah, you could tell. So what did they teach you? First of all, you had a new Ruger, a left-handed Ruger 6.5 Creedmoor rifle, and you had a suppressor on it. But you had to learn all sorts of things about scopes and optics and trajectory and all that. So you had some classroom time, right?
Yes, sir, I did.
What was it like?
It was good. I learned a lot of new stuff. I learned about wind and dialing the scope for yards and all that good stuff.
And then you went up to the top of the mountain there, the hills, and shot. Explain how that went.
It was good. I think that I liked the rifle. It was really good. And it was really windy, too.
It's windy. So how far did you end up shooting with your rifle?
You broke up.
Oh, okay. How far did you end up shooting? What was the range you were shooting?
500 yards, the farthest I went.
Wow, hitting steel at 500 yards. That is terrific. And it's just a great place. It's the clubhouse.
You
know, the rooms are great. They got these colleges. So when you finish with all your training and you've been out shooting and you got everything sighted in, you know you can hit stuff, then you went hunting. So what'd you get?
I got a white-tailed doe, my first deer that I've ever shot.
Well, tell me about that. How far was it? How did it go?
I think it was...
Uh-oh, we're running through a dead spot there in Texas. Let's see if we can... Oh, there she is. Go ahead, Parker. Oh, yep, she got a dead spot there. I'll say, hold on just a second here, Parker. We'll see if we can get you to a little bit better place. I'm going to fill in the blanks here. She's shooting the 6.5 Creedmoor in left-handed Ruger American rifle. All right, Park, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so how far was the shot?
It was 175 yards.
All right. And what happened when you touched off the shot?
I shot it, and it kind of, like, kicked, and then it ran for, like, 60 yards, and then we went to go track it. And we found it under a tree.
And you told me that you were the first one to spot the blood, and you actually followed the blood trail.
Yes, I did.
And then you got to participate in cleaning it and skinning it and cutting it up.
And I made it into sausage.
You did? Did you use a grinder for that?
Yes, sir.
Well, that is terrific. I'm excited for you. And you got to tell people, how old are you, Parker?
I'm 11.
You're 11, okay. No problem shooting that rifle, huh?
No, sir. It was really good. I didn't kick as much as I thought it would.
Okay.
Good.
Now, right now, you're on your way back home. You've been hunting whitetail in Oklahoma. I gathered that you did not get one. What happened there?
Well, there wasn't as many deer as in Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, other people saw deer, but my dad shot a deer. It was a white-tailed doe.
Uh-huh.
That was good.
Good, good. Well, you know, and that's the whole deal. It's part of the learning process is it's hunting. You don't always get something. So do you have the meat? Are you taking the venison back with you?
Yes, sir, I am.
And I know that you want to be a chef, so you really like to cook. Do you have any ideas on what you're going to do with the venison?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, darn it. It's breaking up again. Tell you what, Parker, thank you so much. Congratulations. Congratulations to your dad, and a big thank you to the folks at the FTW Ranch. I'm going to let you guys go. I know you're going through parts of Texas out there where you may have a little bit of spotty coverage, but pretty terrific. And yes, I am a very proud grandpa. That's my 11-year-old granddaughter who just got her first deer. And as she didn't tell you, but she said she outshot everybody, all the other adults in the class except for her dad. She was the only one hitting targets in that wind at 500 yards out there. So, yeah, pardon me while I bust my buttons. All right, 866-TALK-GUN. Obviously, we're open lines. Whether it's Rittenhouse or hunting or kids, we'll talk about it right here on Gun Talk. When someone leaves you their gun collection, you may want a few, but what do you do with the rest? How do you sell them? Who do you call? Well, I call Johnny Dury at Dury's Guns. Whether you're selling one gun or 500, they'll tell you what it's worth and write you a check. Simple, quick, easy, fair. I trust Dury's Guns. Give them a call. Dury'sGuns.com.
Unmatched modularity, unprecedented accuracy, uncompromising reliability. It's easy to understand why 6 Hours P320 is the official sidearm of all branches of the U.S. military. Available in multiple sizes and configurations, including the competition-ready X5 Legion, civilian versions of both the M17, M18, and now the new RXP versions featuring a mounted and zeroed Romeo 1 Pro reflex optic. So it's ready to shoot right out of the box. 6 Hours P320. Never settle.
Your gun rights are under attack as never before. Joe Biden's administration has promised to rip away your constitutional rights, making good on the promises they made to the gun ban lobby. It's time to get off the sidelines and get in the fight. The Second Amendment Foundation's actions in dozens of landmark lawsuits have pushed back these gun grabs, but we need your help. Join and support the Second Amendment Foundation. Go to saf.org. That's saf.org.
A passion for shooting and hunting has driven product innovation at Hodgson Powder Company since 1947. Innovations like black powder substitutes, muzzle-loading pellets, and smokeless powder features like anti-copper fouling agents or temperature insensitivity. A family business from the beginning, Hodgson Powder Company is the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless, black powder, and black powder substitute propellants, and the leader in reloading data for enthusiasts and newcomers alike through the Reloading Data Center. Hodgson Powder Company, the gunpowder people.
You know, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's noticed that everything's getting more expensive. We're in the biggest economic crisis since 2008, with a government that's printing trillions and trillions of dollars. The price of gas, groceries, housing, and ammunition is way up. And if the government continues its out-of-control printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. While paper money will eventually have no value, there are real, tangible things that can always maintain their value. So, how do you protect your money, your retirement, your savings? American Hartford Gold can show you how to hedge your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. All it takes to get started is a short phone call, and they'll have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. And they make it easy. If you call them now, they will give you up to $1,500 of free silver on your first order. So don't wait. Call them now. Call 888-950-0559. That's 888-950-0559 or text GUN to 65532. Again, that's 855-950-0559 or text GUN to 65532. I am your source of intellectual ammunition. And not just here, not just on the radio, not just on the podcast. I cannot encourage you strongly enough to get involved and follow me on Twitter. I am at Gun Talk on Twitter. I chose that. It's just one of many ways to get word out, but it's just the one I went with because it's easy. And what do I do there? I share articles. I share information. This week I have shared dozens and dozens of articles that give you the information you need when you're talking to someone. Because frankly, you may be talking to a friend or a relative who doesn't have this information, who's been watching or listening to the mainstream media, and absolutely firmly believes all of this stuff, all these lies, because they don't have any other information. And if you are informed, and if you have a source for information, you can come back and say, no, that's simply not true. Let's walk our way through it. I mean, I'm looking at things like, and some of the things coming out of the media are ridiculous. This is USA Today. Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted, but the assault-style rifles are once again guilty in deadly shooting. So it was the rifle that was guilty. It starts off, even as Kyle Rittenhouse was found not guilty on all charges Friday, the one crucial element responsible for the killings was never a subject of deliberation by the jury. You can't put an assault-style rifle on trial. Don't you like that? The fact that they're now focusing on style. They won't say assault rifle. They're a little bit spooked now because they understand that it's a made-up term. It's stupid. It makes them sound stupid. So they won't say assault weapon. So now they say assault-style rifle. The idea, of course, is to frighten people as much as they can with this kind of nonsense. Let's see. Moms Demand Action, one of the gun ban groups. Shannon Watts, the founder, the highly paid media professional who runs Moms Demand Action, she says, it's an indictment of our criminal justice system that a teenager could illegally, obtain a gun, travel across state lines to a protest he had nothing to do with, wrong, shoot and kill two participants and face no consequences, wrong. Huh. This is the society that the NRA wants. One where anyone can have a gun anywhere with no questions asked, and where people feel emboldened to shoot anyone over the slightest provocation. Without question or fear of consequences, we don't have to live this way. We certainly don't have to die this way. And we will keep fighting for a country free from gun violence. The nonsense is strong in this one. Gosh. This is one of the things they like to push. They say, well, the NRA wants to anyone to have a gun anywhere, all the time, no questions asked. Really, have you ever gone and bought a gun from a firearms dealer? They tell you it's easier to buy a gun than it is a teddy bear. Really? I never had the FBI be involved in buying a teddy bear. But when you go to a gun store, and if you're not a gun buyer, you may not know this. When you go to a gun store, you have to get the permission of the FBI, in most cases, to buy a gun, unless you have already been pre-qualified through having a concealed carry permit where they do a full background check on you there as well. But you have to have the background check. The FBI has to okay the purchase. I don't know offhand, I don't know of any other item where you have to get the okay of the FBI before you buy it. One could make the argument that that's actually unconstitutional. That before you could exercise your constitutional right to keep and bear arms, you have to get the okay of the government. That's a kind of contrary to what a right is, in fact. And if you think the media has lost its mind over the results of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, just wait until next year when the Supreme Court comes down on the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association case, where the Supreme Court is, I feel certain, going to say that New York's pistol restriction policy, their pistol ban policy, they call it a licensing program, but nobody gets a license, is unconstitutional. Where they say, no, actually, it's two things. It's keep and it's bear. In the 2008 Heller case before the Supreme Court, they said, yes, you have the right to keep arms. You have the right to own guns. But the bear part, carrying a gun, was left out. And this case will address that. And I think the Supreme Court's going to come back, whether it's narrow or whether it's broad, in some form or fashion say, we the people have the right to bear arms. We have the right to carry guns for self-defense. And yes, the right of self-defense was most certainly on trial and most certainly has been upheld. And that most certainly frightens those who would rather have you unarmed and subject to their rule so that you have to say, Mother, may I? So you have to call somebody to come protect you. And if you happen to die in the process, you know what? They're okay with that too. A couple of other data points in all of this. Let's see. The Rittenhouse verdict comes at a time when support for gun control, restrictions on gun ownership, keeps dropping. We have two polls out just this week, Gallup and Quinnipiac. Gallup says that support for banning citizens' ownership of handguns peaked at 60% in 1959. 60% of the people in America wanted to ban handguns in 1959. Today it's 19%. Only 19% want to ban handguns. And this is what I keep telling you is that, you know, I remember those times. I remember when people were saying we should ban handguns, simply ban ownership of them. And it's been this constant fight. Gallup says they've been tracking the public's views on this measure since 1990, when the nation's crime rate was high and a record 78% of Americans supported stricter laws for gun sales. That has come down significantly. Quinnipiac says nearly half of Americans oppose stricter gun laws in the United States, while 45% support stricter gun laws. Again, more people do not want more strict or repressive gun control laws. It says this is the first time since December 2015 that fewer than 50% of the voters are in support of stricter gun laws. Again, people don't want more gun control laws. All of this factors into things. I think this jury looked at this and said, yes, self-defense is okay. Whether he should have been there or not was really not something for them to consider. They couldn't have didn't. They did their right thing. They did what they had to do. They did what they were supposed to do. And they reaffirmed the concept of self-defense, protecting yourself from people who are trying to hurt you or kill you. Another story. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but this is interesting. A Virginia cop was fired for anonymously donating $25 to Kyle Rittenhouse's fund. He now is demanding his job back. Norfolk, Virginia Police Lieutenant William Bill Kelly was fired when he anonymously gave $25 to the Kyle Rittenhouse Defense Fund. Hackers got into that website and exposed everybody who made donations. And he was summarily fired from his job. 19-year veteran on the force. Former homicide detective. He said he looked at the video and said, this is clear to me. This is self-defense. And this kid needs legal representation. And lawyers are expensive. And though he didn't have a lot of money, he says, I'll toss $25 into the kitty for that. For that, he lost his job. So the question is, will he get not only his job back, will he get back pay, will he get an apology from the Norfolk Police Department? I would think all of that plus, I don't know, pick a number, $250,000, $1 million, something for the defamation of the whole thing. And this is where we are split on all of this. It's kind of crazy at this point. Again, my takeaway, don't be emboldened by this. Use it as a cautionary tale. You don't want to go through a year like this, like he just did. Avoid it if you can. Get as much training as you can, not just in shooting, but in self-defense and legal work. And frankly, I would suggest you make sure that you have some kind of a plan or program where you have legal representation if you have to get into a self-defense situation. The Armed Citizens Legal Defense Funds Network is the one that I participate in. So just a thought. Can you afford the $1 million or $2 million it's going to take to defend you? And it can cost that much quite easily. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about getting into hand loading, reloading, making your own ammo. It's hard to find ammo these days. A lot of people are deciding they're going to make their own. We'll talk about that, and we'll be open lines for you. Be right back with more Gun Talk.